This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring defense attorney, Hidden Killers daily contributor, and host of the Defense Diaries podcast, Bob Motta.
So picture this. You are sitting in jail for murder. Murder that many people believe you may not have committed. And that jury is still out. But still, you're sitting there. But it's not even jail. It's prison. It's solitary confinement in prison is where you are at. And you have this defense counsel that comes up with these amazing, fantastical theories and stories about why you are innocent and why you will be exonerated. And then everybody kind of raises an eyebrow. And then suddenly the defense that brought you this idea is gone. They walk away from the case. Joining me to discuss, Bob Motta, defense attorney and host of the Defense Diaries podcast. Bob, I mean, when this came out, talk about a shocking twist. Can you give us any insight from a legal perspective as to what actually went down here in the Delphi murder case in Richard Allen?
Yeah, you know, I was there. I was sitting in the courtroom.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
And yeah, I had gotten down there, and it was a 2 o'clock hearing. It's pouring rain. There's usually a line to get in. When I got over to the courthouse, and this wasn't held in Carroll County. This was actually up in Allen County, which happens to be Judge Gull's hometown county. That's where sits on the bench. Much bigger county, beautiful courthouse. So there's no line. I walk in, guy's like, oh yeah, there's already about 100 people up. And I'm like, what? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like, I'm concerned that I'm not going to get in the courtroom because the judge had put on an order that said that they have about 90 person capacity. So turns out that guy was screwing with me. I got up there. There was about 50 people and they let us into the courtroom about 1 o'clock. And from the minute I get in there, I can sense that something's off because I see Baldwin racing around back in chambers. So when you're sitting, it's a very large courtroom, beautiful, beautiful courtroom. One of the more beautiful courtrooms I've ever been in. And I see Rosie back there and I don't see McLeland, but I know he's back there and I can just see people running around, you know, and it's not unusual. Like in cases like this, major cases, it's par for the course to have, you know, what they call pretrial conferences back in chambers where it's off the record. It's not out in the well of the courtroom and it's more frank. It's more candid. It's a little more casual in terms of what's being discussed. And I happen to be sitting right behind Kathy Allen and Richard's mother, like literally right behind them. And as soon as Kathy sat down, she was crying. Like, you know, and it's like, I've seen her cry when she sees Richard, when they bring him in typically.
Sure.
But as far as I know, she had not seen Richard at all. Mm-hmm. And she was crying.
Yeah.
So I'm like, man, what's going on? And remember, this date on 10/19 was not previously set. It was kind of set out of the blue by the judge a few days prior to the actual hearing date. Because there was a set date of October 31st, Halloween, and then she wrote an order that was very vague in terms of what they were going to be doing. She says, okay, well, we're going to come in and we're going to talk about what we're going to be doing on the 31st at that hearing, and then another issue has arisen, and we're going to discuss that as well at this hearing. So, and I'm sure that as you've heard, last week, the news broke that there had been a leak, okay, of the crime scene photos. And that leak was supposed to have come out through the defense attorney's office, so Andrew Baldwin's office. Now, allegedly, he had somebody that was a friend or somebody that he considered to be a friend who had access to the office. And apparently this guy was either photocopying or taking photographs of crime scene photos, maybe other pieces of evidence as well. And it then turns out that this guy then leaked it to a couple other people. And then those couple other people leaked it to other people. And so kind of the story surfaced when Murder Sheet did the Murder Sheet podcast did an episode talking about the leaks. And I hadn't seen any of the photographs. I don't know anybody personally, aside from Kevin and Ane, that have, or Anya, I always mispronounce her name, you know, that have seen the photos.
Yeah.
I mean, in any time that you have evidence that is under a protective order slip out, it's an issue. And it's an issue if it's coming out of the defense attorney's office. And it seemed to be, and just so people have an understanding, Baldwin and Rosie were both appointed, but they're both private attorneys. They have their own practices. They don't practice in the same office. They don't even practice in the same town. Mm-hmm. They're two separate attorneys with two separate practices that were both appointed to the case. All of this, in terms of the allegations of the leak, are related to Baldwin. I've heard nothing as to Rosie at all. Like, Rosie was not mentioned on anything. So at some point during this, so that's just some background. All right. So we go in not really knowing what's going on. We're all out there speculating. I'm out there with Barbara McDonald. We're all, you know, trying to figure out what it's going to be, what's happening. And then we get into the courtroom. We're sitting in there. I see the running around, frenetic. I've handled cases like this. I know what is going on back in chambers. I know that there's some serious discussions going on. You know, the rumor was that Baldwin was going to get disqualified or removed from the case. I was like, no way. I'm like, you know, unless they have proof that it was intentional, you know, I mean, like, it's a huge move, because it's not as simple as saying, oh, you broke the rule, you're off the case, because you have to balance it against the you know, Richard Allen's Sixth Amendment right to counsel, which is going to outweigh most things. You know, the defendant's rights, constitutional rights, are typically going to outweigh court rules or protective orders and things of that nature. It's not to say that Baldwin couldn't have been sanctioned or punished in some way, shape, or form, but pulling him off the case when, at this point, he's Richard Allen's attorney of choice. As you noted, I mean, a year's gone by. These guys were fighting like hell. They were crafting these motions. No matter what you think of it, you know, the bottom line is you can't disagree that they were fighting like hell.
Yeah.
You know, to, like, I mean, so that, like, that's unequivocal. So you have to know that Richard Allen, when he starts hearing rumors that his lawyers are going to be removed from the case, has to be devastated. And I know that because I'm sitting right behind his wife, who's weeping through the entire hour she's sitting in front of me. She clearly was privy. At some point they called her, I'd say about 1:30. They bring Kathy back into chambers. They're probably discussing what's going on with her, trying to warn her that it looks like Richard's not going to have Baldwin at the very least. So in about 1:50, this is where it gets interesting. About eight or nine law enforcement guys walk in, including Tony Liggett, who's the sheriff, who in the Franks hearing is the one who is supposed to have allegedly lied to the judge to get the warrant. And then you've got Doug Carter, who's the head guy for Indiana State Police and who's basically running the whole investigation. And these guys all sit in the jury box in the well of the courtroom.
Okay.
Like, real intimidating, like.
Yeah.
Like, so they bring in all these cops, and at some point, and they're sitting there for a half hour. And I'm like, man, can only be one of two things is going on. One, because we knew that they were doing, like, it broke that they were going to do an investigation into the leak to try to dig up some stuff. So it could have only been that they're going to go to hearing on the removal of Baldwin, or that she's going to have a hearing on the preliminary finding for the Franks hearing, both of which would have required some law enforcement. I thought it was way too many cops to be there for the Franks hearing, because it's basically Liggett that they're accusing of lying. So, you know, like, we're just sitting there wondering, and 2 o'clock comes, and that's when the hearing's supposed to start. 2 o'clock goes. We're rolling to about 2:30, 2:25. Rosie walks out, walks directly up to Kathy, and says, he's like, it looks frenetic. He's like, all right, hey, come with me. Come to the, like, and he takes both Kathy and Richard's mom out of the courtroom. And I'm like, wow, man, what is going on? I'm like, are they dismissing the charges against Allen? I'm like,
yeah,
I'm trying to figure out, like, this whole time, having like actual experience, like knowing what goes on back there.
Sure.
That there's, you know, a lot of things happen that aren't in the well of the courtroom that are on the record, but not in open court. And I'm just like, man, like, I don't know. So 2 minutes later, Richard's mom comes in and grabs both their sweaters that they had left on the seat in front of us. And I'm like, wow, they're not coming back. I'm like, I don't know what this means. 5 minutes later, Judge Gull comes out, takes the bench, and she says, oh, well, sorry for the delay. There's been a lot of things going on here. And we just had something very unexpected happen this afternoon. And I'm like, okay. And she's like, so as of this afternoon, both of Richard Allen's attorneys have withdrawn from the case, and I've allowed them to withdraw from the case. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
my mind was blown. I did not know what was going on with that. I was like, what? Like, it was one thing to think that Baldwin might go, which I thought was a stretch. Mm-hmm. It was an entirely different thing to lose both of his lawyers.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're left there to speculate as to what may have gone on back there. And, you know, my best guess is that essentially McLeland came in, told the judge, all right, the Indiana State Police did this. This is their investigation. This is what they found. Gull sat back there. And this all happens back in chambers, like kind of on the down low.
Yeah.
And Gull says, like, Andrew, you know, like, I think it's enough of a technical violation that I should remove you from the case. It's like, this isn't the first leak. There's been multiple leaks.
Yeah.
Filed that motion, not under seal. You know, I've got a problem with it.
Yeah.
And frankly, I've got to get control of this trial again. Mm-hmm. So what I'm going to do is give you the option. I'm going to give you the option to either go to hearing, which, as you know, I okayed cameras in the courtroom this one time, and we're going to air your dirty laundry in public. In which case, and I'm telling you right now, and again, this is me speculating,
yeah, but
if I had to bet, I'd say that I'm spot on. And this is the conversation that she has. And she says, in which case, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm inclined to DQ you from the case, to disqualify you, mm-hmm, from the case, or I'll give you the opportunity to withdraw. It's like a Hobson's choice, meaning there is no real choice. It's like,
yeah,
I'm not going to go out there, get pantsed, you know, mm-hmm, in front of everybody. And that triggers an automatic mandatory referral to the disciplinary commission out there, mm-hmm, because that's the other side of it.
Okay.
You know, it's not, people call it the bar, but it's really the disciplinary commission. They're the ones who are essentially oversee all the attorneys. Like, ours is called the ARDC in Illinois. Mm-hmm. If people have complaints about their lawyers, that's where they go. And
sure,
you got to answer all of them. Mm-hmm. And if it happens in a court of law, if you've been sanctioned or removed, it gets referred to them automatically, and it's all on the record. So it would have been, not only would he have been DQ'd from the case because Gull told him so, but then he's going to have to deal, which he still might have to.
Mm-hmm.
He still might have to deal with the disciplinary committee out there, which could result in fines, suspension, or, you know, the biggest thing would be obviously disbarred. I don't,
yeah,
see that happening. But so at that point, he's got no choice. So at least in my opinion, I think at that point, he's then going to have to go to his partner on the case and say, what are you going to do, man? Are you going to stay on? Or are you going to come, you know, what are you going to do? And that's the thing that I'm dying to know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is the thing, like, I want to know, because I don't think that she gave Rosie the same option because of what she said. She said Andrew Baldwin made an oral motion to withdraw, which I granted, and Brad Rosie is going to prepare a written motion, and we'll be tendering it over the next few days. Mm-hmm. It's a different, you could tell it's a different scenario. And I happen to think that they both think that he's innocent, actually innocent.
Yeah.
So you can imagine what that would feel like to be the family of Richard Allen, let alone the defendant himself. And it was evident from how Kathy was reacting.
Yeah.
Like, the entire hearing, she knew it was coming. They all knew it was coming. And I have to be honest, man. I find the timing extremely convenient for the state. With everything else that was going on, that was sure a good way to divert all the attention away from Liggett and the Franks motion and the Odinism. Now we're all talking about some leaked photographs that no one saw. And in the meantime, Richard Allen's lost both of his attorneys and is sitting in jail. Oh, I'm sorry, prison.
Prison, yeah.
Without an attorney.
Yeah.
And it's not going to, you know, like he's not going to have anybody until they, and so the only things that the judge said this court date, which I drove 8 hours total for 5 minutes, was that, you know, on the 31st, she's going to appoint new counsel. He's still broke, still indigent, so he's going to get more attorneys appointed to him. They will be, again, private counsel that are appointed because they, Carroll County's small. They don't have a big, they don't have a big, like a big public defender's office, not somebody who can handle a case like this. So at that point, and it sounds like there's going to be some kind of hearing. I like, the, you know, for the families, it's devastating. I mean, the thing was never going to go on January 8th ever.
Sure.
It was never going to go to trial. But I mean, now you've got new lawyers are having to start from scratch.
Sick of the ads?
We opt to.
Start listening with no commercials now and get access to all of our episodes in advance of everyone else.
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Sign up now.